Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life.
Blaylock Dialysis Center is a convenient state-of-the-art dialysis center in the Houston area, run by Dr. Panakin Patel. Relax in a comfortable environment while receiving quality care. Serving adults 18 to geriatrics, we are here to help you. Call 713-463-6611 for more information or visit us at our website at www.blaylockdialysiscenter.com. Blaylock Dialysis Center, where helping you get well is our priority. Get off the grid and step inside your heart. Sister Jenna guides you through a powerful, encouraging, and motivating meditation that allows you to let go and become aware of you, regain strength, power, and peace.
Inner light. Taking just a minute, I relax my body and become aware of my inner light. I visualize each one of my thoughts weaving itself into this light. I draw from my heart the power of inner peace and the light of love. My thoughts are filled with compassion and forgiveness, patience, and tolerance. Hello, everyone. Welcome to America Meditating Radio. I'm your host, Sister Jenna, and we're broadcasting from the beautiful Meditation Museum. We celebrated our 50-year anniversary, and again, I am without words for all the love and support that we have received in the last 5 years. You know, when we started the radio program, it was really for Sister Gita, who is a cancer survivor, and her voice is 10 times more sweeter, calmer, and transportive than mine. And then, you know, she kind of was just a little bit shy in sharing her gifts to the world and had invited me to just help her out a little bit. And here I am 5 years later, enjoying every minute of what has been a growing and beautiful process of cultivating some of the best minds on our planet, but also best hearts. I want to give a big shout out and appreciation and thanks to Assemblage that we had a wonderful conversation with the wonderful Robert Thurman, who has authored so many books, great friend of the Dalai Lama, and I had the privilege of interviewing Robert at the Assemblage, which I'd never been to before, and it's conscious raising base. They sell elixirs with no alcohol, just natural herbs and so on. There's no meat. They have vegan diets and nobody smokes in the space. And it's just clear. It's all organic but clean and update and really a place for millennials as well as all other types of individuals who are just curious to be in the space that nurtures your whole being whilst you're even sitting there on your laptop. And so kudos to their work and their dreams, because I think that they're onto something really beautiful. There's something about the concept of the space. There's something about the people that are behind that space and the wonderful arrangement of the environment. So lots of good wishes for those that are all involved with making it go higher and do better. And I can only imagine when it was just an idea to just be thought about, the incredible energy that went into it to actually, build it. So if you're in New York City, go to the Assemblage at 114 East 25th Street and tell them Sister Jenna sent you from the America Meditating Radio. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be talking to Dr. Larry Burke, who is the co-founder of Do Integrative Medicine in Durham, North Carolina. Before we get Dr. Burke on the air, let us do what we do best here. Just take a moment, reflect. Here's Sarah McLaughlin on Instrument of Peace.
Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love.
Welcome back, everyone. That was Sarah McLaughlin, Instruments of Peace, one of my favorite songs and one of those timely songs. The words are immortal. They touch the deepest part of our truths, that part of us that really knows what to do, you know, that part of us that has the goodness recorded, but sometimes events on our journey that have gone against that goodness tend to kind of get a hold on us more than we would like. And so we forget that at the core is the natural nature of the self, which is to be a peaceful person, still in action. You're not just peaceful sitting on their tree waiting for your enlightenment, but you're peaceful because you're in check with your emotions and you're in check with your heart and your mind and your being, and you're in check with your relationships. You are honest enough to know what part of a relationship requires a little bit more authenticity and truthfulness, and it liberates you. And so always remember, our natural nature is peace, and it doesn't mean passive or to be non-engaging. it means to carry a particular energy that nurtures the elements of consciousness and the elements of our nature. Today we're pleased to welcome Dr. Larry Burke. Dr. Burke is the co-founder of Duke Integrative Medicine in Durham, North Carolina, and is on staff in the radiology department at Duke Hospital. He's currently heading up a new study involving dreams and breast cancer. Dr. Burke is a former board president of the internationally acclaimed Rhine Research Center at Duke University. He was the co-founder of the American Board of Scientific Medical Intuition and is currently a member of the International Association for the Study of Dreams. His new book, which he co-authored, is entitled Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases. Today we welcome Dr. Larry Burke. Hi, Dr. Burke. Welcome.
Hi, Sister Jenna. Thanks for the invitation. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear, and you sound amazing. So,
great.
What did you dream about last night?
That's always a good question.
Do you remember your dreams?
You know, as I'm getting ready for this book launch, I've been having a lot of turmoil in my dreams. Okay. Last night I dreamed that I was at a conference and I had gotten confused about my plane reservations. I thought I was leaving a day too early, and so right now that's really what's on my mind is all these different. I'm going on a book tour with 8 different stops, and it's confusing, and I'm going with the flow.
Oh, well, listen, congratulations. I know how exciting that can be, but also how nerve-wracking it can be. And are you coming to Washington, D.C. by chance?
Well, it's interesting. I start in Durham, where I live in North Carolina. I'm going to Greensboro and then to Charlotte, and all in North Carolina, and then heading to Knoxville in Tennessee and then to Lexington. And I'm visiting old family friends or people whose stories are in the book. So and then I'm going to Columbus, and Pittsburgh is my hometown. And it's interesting. The dream last night was about the last day of this conference, and where the confusion was. And I haven't been able to figure out what the 8th stop on the book tour is. I wanted to go to Philadelphia. Philadelphia is sort of my metaphysical roots are there. I got my first metaphysical book at the Garland of Letters, a famous bookstore on South Street in Philadelphia. It's one of the few surviving metaphysical bookstores, in big metaphysical bookstores in the country. The Bodhi Tree in L.A., where Shirley MacLaine had all her revelations, that went out of business, which is a great loss. And so I wanted to go to the Garland of Letters. That just looked like it wasn't going to happen, so I thought I'd go to Washington, D.C., on my way back to Durham. And so I investigated 8 different bookstores at Washington, D.C., and got nothing as a response. They want political stories. So.
D.C. is just in another state of mind, Dr. Burke. But you know what? If you still want to come, we'll host you at the museum. So let's talk about the book, your new book that you're so excited about, that you're dreaming about, that you're worried if you're going to miss your flight or not. Dreams That Can Save Your Life. What inspired you to start to write a book about dreams? And how did you even begin to identify the fact that in some dreams we could even discover that there might be an illness pending or happening?
Well, I think it all started when I moved to Philadelphia in 1986. And I did 2 different metaphysical explorations. I started out exploring the Ekankar path, which was interesting for about a year, and then the ancient science of soul travel. And then I went and did the Yogananda Self-Realization Fellowship for a year while I was reading my first metaphysical book and starting to keep a dream diary. I think one of those 2 paths inspired me to keep the dream diary. And I also started to meditate at that time, too. I never meditated before. So that was all meditating, dreaming, metaphysical book reading, all that same time, right around the time when Shirley MacLaine's first book came out, the Out on a Limb miniseries came out, which introduced a lot of these things to the general public. And then the harmonic convergence happened in 1987. So all that sort of converged on me, and my dad got sick with cancer all in that 1 year. And what happened was I had my first dream about cancer at Thanksgiving that year in 1987. And I had this vivid dream of myself having a brain tumor on a CAT scan. And everyone was shocked because I looked so healthy. And I just dutifully recorded it in the dream diary. Like, I didn't really think much about it. It was like, oh, yeah, I had a dream about a brain tumor. That was weird. And then 2 weeks later, my dad got diagnosed with a big kidney cancer on a CAT scan. And the response for everybody was, oh, he looks so healthy. How could he have cancer? And I have the same name as my dad. I'm a junior. So I realized that that was the only time I'd see my dad in like a year on that Thanksgiving visit. And I had that dream. I must have tuned into something and translated, you know, his kidney tumor into my brain tumor. And the kidney's a little bit like the brain because it has a cortex and a medulla. It was all on the left side. It was on a CAT scan. So that was my sort of aha moment of like, whoa, maybe I really picked that up. And I was reading Brian Siegel's Love, Medicine, and Miracles book at the time, and he's the first doctor who ever talked about dreams that I ever heard of.
So where do dreams come from? Have you gotten a chance to actually research and identify what's the root cause of why we dream?
Well, I mean, there's lots of different theories about that. It also depends on what time of night you have the dream, because the ones early on in the night tend to be residue from the day before. And the deeper you go into the night and closer to morning, I think the deeper you get into your subconscious and maybe into the spirit, you know, the dream spirit world as well. And so I really pay attention to those dreams that either wake me up in the middle of the night or the ones that I have as I'm waking up in the morning. And I keep a dream diary right by my bed with a little – I keep a red LED alarm clock with a battery in it because – I can actually shine that on my notebook and see what I'm writing without disrupting my sleep cycle, because if you use a white light or a green light, your pineal gland is going to get affected.
Wow, I didn't know that. Yeah. So do colors actually have an impact on how we feel?
Oh, well, I mean, for some reason, the pineal gland is really affected by green or yellow and white light and green light and anything that will suppress your pineal function, whereas a red light doesn't seem to do that. And so that's what's recommended. That's why, if you think about it, if you've ever been in a photographic dark room, you can have a red light on in a dark room and not screw up your photographs. So, yeah.
That's interesting, because in my meditation rooms and at many of our meditation centers, we use the red light as our energy of light to induce the meditation, which is so interesting to hear.
Isn't that interesting? That's very interesting.
It is.
And I also think about it in terms of different states of brain waves, in that we're talking in beta right now between, you know, 12 and 16 hertz frequency per second. And then if we drop into a meditative state, you're in alpha between 8 and 12. If you drop into theta between 4 and 8, then you're getting vivid images. And that's where you really want to be when you're doing shamanic work or anything like that. And meditation, you're probably hovering on the edge between alpha and theta most of the time. And of course, if you drop into delta, you're going to fall asleep, which is why you would sit up when you're meditating. But the other thing that recently came out from Germany is there's the gamma frequencies, which are really high bursts of frequencies like 30 to 40 hertz. And those apparently occur during aha, eureka type insight moments, and also during lucid dreaming. So something to keep in mind.
Wow. Indeed. And again, you know, my meditation is more of an alert, an awakened meditation. And so perhaps maybe that's why the whole thing about redness and stuff has played a role.
Images during your meditations, or is it just a
no, I'm more abstract and more like experiential. I'm not looking to see something for validation. I'm more looking to remember an experience that I've lost because of life.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. So now, how did you discover the diagnostic power of precognitive dreams? I mean...
That's a good question. Yeah. Mm. I mean, my first experience with my dad's having a dream about his cancer, but then about 10 or more years later, I had a colleague show up at Duke to teach with me in the Integrated Medicine Center, Polly Delavitt, and she'd been a longtime meditator. She actually taught meditation at the UVA, University of Virginia School of Medicine, back in the early 90s. Her picture was on the cover of Today magazine, with all her medical students meditating on the cover. And she got fired after that came out. Big backlash from the conservative alumni at University of Virginia. And she wound up coming down to work with me with all these stories about how she'd had dreams about spiders crawling out of her mouth when she was lecturing to a bunch of medical students and wound up having cancer of the tongue. And those initial dreams prompted her to get a biopsy, and it was normal. The surgeon came back and said, well, you may have had some dreams, but the biopsy is negative. So she did what many talented dreamers do, and they asked for a clarifying dream. So the next night, if you remember the characters from the MASH TV program, Hot Lips Houlihan, and one of the doctors on the show showed up in her dream and said, look, that doctor missed it. You need to go back and ask for another biopsy. And so she got a dream second opinion, which I think is brilliant, and went back, and they got a biopsy, and they found the cancer. She had treatment, and then about 5 years later, she had a recurrence of the cancer, which was signaled by the spider escaping from its cage in her dream. So she was that was my introduction to this whole concept of being able to dream your own, you know, health issues.
Wow, fantastic. Now, how many people were in your research group, and what was their illness? Do you recall?
Yeah, well, in 2004, one of my best friends, who is actually a well-known meditation teacher and mindfulness teacher, she had a dream about having a vivid dream, really a precognitive dream, of being on the operating room table, having a woman surgeon operate on her breast, knew exactly where the cancer was in the dream. And so, you know, acting on the dream, you always got to ask the question, what does the dream want? Well, the dream wanted her to go get a mammogram. So she went to the mammogram, and it was actually normal. And she was probably one of those women with relatively dense breasts where the cancers don't show up very well. So she insisted on having, and the radiologist came out and said, you can come back in a year, everything's fine. And she said, no, I can't leave until you do an ultrasound. And the radiologist refused. They went back and forth, and she finally said, look, I'm not leaving until you do the ultrasound. The radiologist sort of threw up her hands and said, look, I wouldn't even know where to put the ultrasound probe. And she said, how about right here? And so she put the probe on, the radiologist turns white as a ghost and says, how did you know there was a cancer there? And she said, well, I had a dream about it. And that was a pretty amazing story, but even more amazing was a week later she went for the appointment with the breast surgeon who she'd never met before, and it was the woman from the dream that she recognized. So, yeah.
Wow. There's so many mystical things happening in our lives, and I'm so inspired and intrigued to investigate them deeper, not to master them, but to be just aware of them so that I can sometimes put the pieces together. Because sometimes we walk around in life just disconnected, like not really knowing why certain things are happening. And for some of us, it's important for us to answer our whys. Some of us don't feel like we do, you know, we really have to. And I think being able to also understand our dreams helps us to get a little bit closer to understanding our whys. Would you agree?
Yeah, and as a medical researcher, I was, you know, when I hear those two stories, I was intrigued, but that alone wouldn't inspire me to actually do research. It wasn't until a physician friend of mine came up and said, you know, I had mentioned that dream that my friend had, and then she says, I had a dream, you know, a little while ago about a serial killer. You know, it's like sometimes the dream world goes to extreme, you know, lengths to get your attention, very, very dramatic. And then right after that dream, she had a dream about breast cancer. So she went in and had a mammogram. And in her case, she had fatty breasts, so the cancer showed up right away in the mammogram, even though in neither case could you feel a lump. And there wasn't any symptoms. Now, then that got me real interested. And then the third friend of mine had a cancer dream that took her to her doctor. And the doctor just felt her breast. She was even having a little symptoms near the sternum in her breast. And the doctor did the examination and said, I think it's just normal breast tissue, and did not even get a mammogram. And she wound up dying of breast cancer 3 years later. So that was...
Aww.
That really was a cautionary tale. I thought, okay, and that inspired me to actually do a real research project, because it was, at that point, I thought, I don't want any other women to have their dreams
life
denied.
Life taken away them, right.
Yeah, and so that was my inspiration for doing that. And then what happened was I decided to do a literature search and find out, does anybody else know about this? Because I'd never heard of, you know, people having dreams about their cancers. And so I went off on a quest and found two women who had, two women had written books about it, and one nurse had published a paper about it. So with those three people, it was, and my co-author was one of them, Kat O'Keefe Cannabis, had written a book, was writing a book at the time called Surviving Cancer Land about her amazing precognitive dreams. And Wanda Birch had written a book called She Who Dreams, which is a really well-documented dream journal of her entire life and her journey with breast cancer. So those two then inspired me to just do a survey, a scientific survey on social media. So I put it out on Facebook, mm-hmm. and I went to the International Association for the Study of Dreams, went to Dr. Christian Northrup and Dr. Lisa Rankin and Dr. Larry Dossey, who all helped me recruit people. And so I had 18 women from around the world, including two from Austria, one from Colombia, South America, two from England, and the rest from the United States. Mm-hmm. And they all had similar stories to tell. And in about half of the cases, that dream was what took them to the doctor and prompted
and helped them to cure
the doctor, right. and made all the difference. Yeah.
You know what I wish, Dr. Berg? I wish we could dream the cure for cancer and that it just wasn't radiation and chemo. I wish it was a happy pill that you could just take, you know,
well,
and it just put everything together, you know?
Interesting that you mention that, because talk about putting everything together. Since I'm doing, you know, come from the integrated medicine perspective, that means you integrate the best of all worlds for your healing process. So I was surprised to find that, well, first of all the women in the study and in the book everyone's still alive. So having a dream about your cancer seems to be a good prognostic indicator at this time, as far as we know. And so the fact that you had a diagnosis dream may mean that you can have a dream about healing, and that's been true for a number of the people in the book. And what's really been interesting is I assumed, oh, these people are all very conscious, very intuitive people. They're going to dream holistic remedies for their cancer. And
right.
That's true in some of the cases. Dr. Carl Helvey had lung cancer 40 years ago and found out about it in a dream, had a biopsy, and then refused chemo and radiation and surgery and healed his cancer without anything else 40 years ago, which is, lung cancer just doesn't go away like that. So that was an amazing story. But then Wanda Birch, Kat, and other people have had their dreams guide them to take the most aggressive chemotherapy they could find. And I was like, really?
Wow.
And so Wanda had a very aggressive cancer. It was hard to find. And when she finally found it, the dreams, you know, were guiding her. Like, she's got one dream is of having bats throughout her house, and she had to exterminate the bats. And it was like, okay. And then she had a dream about being afraid of going through the chemotherapy. She saw the toxic bags of chemo hanging on an IV pole running down into her arm. As it came into her arm, it turned into energy food for her body. And so what she did, she made a guided meditation out of it. She just recorded that as a meditation sheet, and she listened to that when she was taking her chemo. And as a result, had no side effects. And at the end, the doctor goes, there must be some problem here. You got twice as much chemo as anyone else, and you didn't have any side effects.
Wow.
That caught me by surprise. I was not expecting that.
Yeah, me neither. That's powerful. Sometimes I wonder if it was that what made her special was that she was a good listener to her thoughts, her feelings, and her body. Because doesn't that play a very big role in us being able to truthfully, like I just got some test results back, and a few red things came up in terms of, you know, blood, sugar, you know, I'm just eating really a lot of junk food lately. And I'm just not quite sure why, but for the last 2 months, I've just gone through this very weird stage, and I'm listening to my body, and I can feel it, that it's not very happy with me, and I can feel it. And so my point to all of our listeners, and as we're having this conversation, is it that, too, we need to really be a little bit more honest about how we're feeling and what we're going through. Because I find that many of us don't want to listen, or see ourselves as we really are, and then take the next step to move to a higher level of existing.
And interestingly, you brought up food, because my friend, the meditation teacher, was in this dilemma. Am I going to have radiation or surgery? Or what? She did have the surgery, but then she said, am I going to have radiation or chemo? She started having dreams about raw vegetables every night. And one of them, a rabbi came and told her about the raw vegetables. And then she went to a meditation retreat. I think she was doing some Kabbalistic studying at the time. And the rabbi from the dream walks up there, the real rabbi, comes up and says, oh, I hear you're dealing with breast cancer. You know, you might want to do some wheatgrass. This is like right out of the dream. And so she joined the Hippocrates Institute down in Florida, which was a raw food diet program, and did that for quite a few years and did well. And so you never know where the guidance is going to come from. You need to be open to and not have any preconceived notions. Your dream world could say, go get the chemo and radiation, or go get the raw vegetables. And you need to be able to follow that guidance.
Yes, yes, I hear that. So let's just end our conversation with your new study at Duke University, which I guess we've spoken about, that because that's the research that you've been doing, you know, involving dreams and breast cancer.
The first research was done at the Ryan Research Center. So that was...
Okay.
And one minor correction to the introduction you made, the Ryan Research Center started at Duke, and in 1964, Dr. Ryan retired from Duke. So it's been off campus ever since. It doesn't have an affiliation with Duke anymore. We still do some events at Duke, but it's not an official part of Duke. So, and I was the board president there 10 years ago. And so we did this study back in 2013 to 15 through the Ryan's Institutional Review Board Review Committee. But now I just started a new study at Duke, because the big question everyone asked from my first study was, well, there's no control group. We don't know how many women out there are having dreams about breast cancer and don't have breast cancer, you know. So now we're asking every woman who comes to Duke for a breast biopsy to fill out a dream survey, and just to see how many of them are having dreams. And we're about halfway through that study so far, and the ultimate goal is to find out, can you tell a malignant, you know, dream from a benign dream? Because when women get breast biopsies, about two-thirds of the biopsies are negative, so they show something benign. Only a third of them have cancer. So that means that two-thirds of the women coming in are if they're having dreams, they're having dreams about something benign. So we'll be able to figure that out, but not in this study, because we don't actually, it's an anonymous study, so I'm not going to be able to compare the dream results to their biopsy results. That is another level that we're going to need funding for, research funding, to do a much more rigorous study. But in this study so far, after about 100 women being biopsied, about 5% of them have dreams. So it's not very common, but it's not rare. So out of 20 women are having dreams.
Wow. Well, look, I think you're onto something very special, because it's also quite personal. We can actually just pay a little bit more attention, be a little bit more intuitive to checking if we feel okay, if we feel good. And I'm a very strong supporter of giving us sometimes some time to not feel so good, but not to live in not feeling good. I'm not a supporter of, you know, we've got to find cures and solutions. So leave us again with maybe a website and some of your places that you're going to be on tours with your new book, Dreams That Can Save Your Life.
Excellent. Yes. So it's Larry Burk, MD. So B-U-R-K, MD. And, .com, and that's, it'll take you to the website. It has a link to Amazon there if you want to get the book online. Also on my website is my TED talk on warning dreams about cancer. It got censored by the powers that be at TED because it wasn't scientific enough for them. So please watch my TED talk. You'll have to click on the red banner, the X in the upper right corner of the red banner to remove it so you can actually watch the talk. But I'd appreciate it. And then, I'm honored to have been censored by TED, because other free thinkers have been censored as well, like Rupert Sheldrake. So.
Oh, wow. Well, there you go. You're in a good group.
So I'm going to Durham. My talk will be book talk and signing will be next Thursday on the 19th of April. And then on the 20th, I'll be going to Greensboro, the 21st, to Charlotte, 22nd to Knoxville, 23rd to Columbus, to Lexington, 24th to Columbus, and 25th to Pittsburgh. And I'm looking for some place to go on the 26th. So either Washington or Charlottesville or who knows. So I'm open to that mystery at the moment.
Well, look, lots of congratulations and good wishes on your tour. I know it's going to be a wonderful experience because it's of the people that you're meeting, the doors that are opening, the realizations that you gain, you know, with each stopover. So,
yeah, no, my goal for the book and the tour is to inspire people to keep a dream diary, first of all, and then to sort of restore dreams to their rightful place in medicine and healing, back to what the Greeks, you know, were doing years ago in the Asclepian temples, that the dreams were considered the most important health god you could have.
Wow. And what you can maybe do as well is to keep a journal of each stopover that you do, too, to see how that emerges for you. That would
Absolutely.
Be neat.
It's like life is like a waking dream, so that's the way I'm approaching it.
Dr. Larry Berg, thank you for joining us on air, and lots of good wishes again.
Thank you, Sister Jenna.
So your dream can save your life. So pay attention. Listen. Keep a journal next to your bed. Write it down. Think about it. Sort it out. Be intrigued about your existence. Be intrigued about the thoughts you're having, the people you're meeting, the things that you're saying. No, what do they say? No incident is an accident. It's like just keep being intrigued by all of these scenes and moments and see what awakens for you and what opens up for you. Hope you enjoyed my chit-chat with Dr. Larry Berg. Please go to our Twitter, America Meditate, and Facebook to keep up and keep hearing the conversation over and over again. And also, you know, just find ways, find means to open your eyes and become more healthy mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, financially, and relationship-wise. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission, and we are here to love each other the same, so let's do that. Take care, everyone, and here's Open My Eyes by Bliss.
I feel the rawest thing. I'd like to